Parshas Vayechi, we find some very important lessons for life. This is really the end of a major chapter in Jewish history, Parshas Vayechi and Parshas Shemos, as we'll talk about the next week, is really a whole new lesson, new theme, and a very important chapter in Klal Yisrael's history as well. Parshas Vayechi, the Torah tells us that Yosef got a message that his dad is sick, and he's going to die soon. Pasuk says that it was told to Yosef that his father was sick. So the Mefarshim ask, the Rishonim ask, that's Kedem and Bali Atesis asks the obvious question. You would have thought that Yosef hasn't seen his father for so many years. They were so close. He would have thought he put him right next to him in his office, right? His bed would be right next to Yosef's bed. He would know everything that has going on with his father. So he'd be on, know every move, every time something happens, his blood pressure drops a little bit, he'd be there, he'd be by his father's bed. And now you're telling me that they had to send a messenger? He wasn't even involved? How could it be that he wouldn't be near his father? So the Das Kedem answers, he says, Yosef Bedavka moved Yaakov away from him. Why? Because he was afraid that if Yaakov is around Yosef too much, what's going to happen is Yaakov is going to start questioning. So Yosef, by the way, where have you been for the last all these years? What happened? What was the story? You would tell me what happened from here to there. How'd you get there? And ultimately what would come out was the whole Mechira and what happened with the brothers. And there was a Cherim, there was a pact that they all made up, all of them, Yosef included, they are not going to reveal what really happened. So the Das Kedem says Yosef was willing to give up his own time with his father, which he clearly cherished and was very important to him, so he shouldn't end up accidentally spilling the beans, and then causing his brothers to get a klal, the Das Kedem says. He was so afraid that Yaakov's power of bracha and klala is so strong, if he's going to necessarily be around his father for so much, chances are something's going to come out, and a klal is going to come down for his brothers, and for that he was willing to give up for his own time with his father, and have his father somewhat away from him, which is a pretty unbelievable level in caring about others, especially your brothers that weren't so nice to you in the past, and they weren't exactly the best of brothers, but you didn't want them to get into more trouble or a severe klala, so that's why Yaakov Davka didn't live near Yosef, and that's why he needed a messenger. We also find the Gemara tells us in Bar Metzia that Yaakov was the first.
That the brothers sold him.
What, Yaakov?
Yeah.
Yaakov didn't know, right? Whatever he knew was Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. But there was never an Amira. There was never a formal tell to a tale told to Yaakov.
In the brachas, he says things about your brother. You did this.
Yeah, well, there was so to say bad blood before that. But as far as I know, Yaakov was never officially told by the brothers. Maybe he knew from other sources about the mechira. The Gemara tells us in Bar Metzia that Yaakov was the first person to experience terminal illness, ultimately dying from his illness. He got sick and then he died. So it depends how you look at it. This can either have been a klal or a bracha. Some people think that terminal illness is the worst thing in the world. You watch a person, and if anyone has had family members that have been sick, and you watch them in the hospital bed going slowly deteriorating every day, it seems to be like a horrible thing. And one would have argued just being hit by a bus one day would be an easier way of going. But that's not necessarily the Torah perspective. The Torah is telling us as Torah Jews, we want to prepare for Yom HaMisa. It's a very big event. There's an in-between, of course. Yeah, 100%. But the idea of being able to be prepared for the Yom HaMisa was really the bracha that Yaakov gave to the world. By getting sick, and it gives a person time to realize that, listen, your days are limited, and you have to put everything into perspective, and you have to be mesader what you need to do, it really gives a person a chance to prepare for the next world. By us in Queens, we had a big Shabbos this week working with the end-of-life shilas. Rabbi Zon from Chavah Kedisha spends a lot of time working on wills and estates and all these things that people sometimes don't think about, and by the time they wake up, it is too late. And it creates, for the nifter, it creates terrible fights in the family. I'd say 99% of family fights are over Yerusha money. That's usually what ends up tearing families apart. So if a person realizes that his day is coming, so he starts to be misguided things properly, some people are, you know, don't leave money for kvura. Believe it or not, I know people, from people, they don't leave any money for kvura. My kids will figure it out. But your kids, it's not a cheap thing today to bury a body, especially if you want to go here, you want to be flown to Eretz Yisrael. These are expensive experiences. And brothers say, oh, my kids will figure it out. You know, that's not properly preparing. So Yaakov Avinu gave us a gift where people get sick and they have time to be massage their ideas and do tshuva and do vidoy and talk to their family and write a will. All these things are really a gift that Yaakov Avinu gave to the Lord, which prior to Yaakov Avinu's death, we did not have. And Yaakov Avinu tells Yosef, he says, I want you to know that I bought the Me'aris HaMachpelah. So the question is, you didn't buy the Me'aris HaMachpelah. Avraham Avinu bought the Me'aris HaMachpelah. What do you mean you bought the Me'aris HaMachpelah? So we know there's a Rashi quoted in this week's parasha and last week's parasha. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu had to buy out Esav's chelak in the Me'aris HaMachpelah. He gave him all the money he had. He cleaned him out. Yaakov was broke after this. He had no money. All the money that he got in Padan Aram, all the money that he got, he gave it all away for the kvura of to get Esav out of Me'aris HaMachpelah and him into Me'aris HaMachpelah. Why is that significant? Because many people get the impression when you learn earlier in Sefer Bereishis that Yaakov was somewhat of a cheap fellow. And he went back for pachim katanim, little jugs, combined them in amazing savings for 99 cents. And Yaakov went all the way back for them. Ah, you know, this is the typical stereotype of, you know, a cheap Jew. The answer is, we explained back then, that Yaakov wasn't cheap. Yaakov valued money and he didn't waste it. Yet when it came to something which Yaakov thought was important, like getting Esav out of Ma'aser Machpelah and getting a chelek, he gave all the money away. He plopped all the money down in a pile and said, "Here, take all my money." It wasn't because the Torah was telling us Yaakov Avinu valued a dollar and he used it for what was important, and for things that weren't important, he wasn't going to waste. But to say that Yaakov Avinu didn't value money is not correct, because you see clearly over here, he gave away all his money. All that he had, he gave away in order to be able to do what he felt was right. Pasuk tells us that Yaakov and Yosef have a little bit of a discussion about his children. He says, "Who are these children?" And he tells him, "These are my children. Don't worry, they are my children." So Rashi says he showed him Mishtar Eberson, he showed him Mishtar Ksuba to prove that they're really his children. Rabbi Shawai says, over from the Klausenberger Rebbe when he was 9 years old. It's important to remember, he was 9 years old, the Klausenberger Rebbe. But we know the Klausenberger Rebbe was an Eli, you read his Svarim, it's clear. This was a 9-year old response from the Klausenberger Rebbe. He went to visit the Ashraf Tzer Rebbe once. The Ashraf Tzer Rebbe heard that the Klausenberger Rebbe already was a big Eli at 9 years old. So he asked him the following kasha. He asked the Klausenberger Rebbe, he said, "How do you know where do you see from the psukim that this was the conversation between Yaakov and Yosef? All the pasuk says, he says, show me your children." And he says, he saw Yosef's children. He said, "Who are you?" So Rashi says he had in Ruach HaKodesh that there might have been some form of psal. So that's why Yosef gave the shayris and said, "Look, don't worry, they're nice Jewish kids." So says the Klausenberger Rebbe the following. He said, "What was going on over here was like this." Yeah, we can only appreciate it because of what we're learning in what we learn here. Yaakov said to Yosef like this. He said, "Let's say Naniach you married a Jewish girl, but we know the halacha is, as the Gemara says, if you mekadosh b'lai yedim, there's no kedushin." How much what we're learning here in the morning, right? If you mekadosh b'lai yedim, there's no kedushin. So time with Yaakov to Yosef, very nice, you got married, but where's the edim? There's no kashu edim here in Mitzrayim. You can't have a marriage in Mitzrayim, it doesn't go. Edim make the kedushin. Right? Edim kiyum, you don't have a marriage. So his taina to Yosef was, it's very nice, she's a Jewish girl, but you have no edim kedushin. So what was his answer back? What's bazeh? The Gemara says in kedushin, why do you talk in the edim kedushin? Why can't you have adults baldin kimei edim domi? It works for everything else. So the Gemara says, because chavla achrina. Because since your kedushin is going to affect other people, because now she's usher and your relative and your usher on her relative, so it's chav lachrin. So Yosef was tiny to Yaakov, it's not to his father, it's not a geuve chav lachrin. I have no siblings and she has no siblings. We're a bunch of nobodies. No one's being affected by our marriage. So we can do bazeh. Bazeh is where we learn hadas badin kimeidim domi. The Gemara learns from a pasuk, ashayyemar ki huzeh. From that word, we learn the din of hadas badin kimeidim domi. So his answer back was, ashenasan li alakim bazeh. With this, meaning I'm allowed to use adults b'adin kimeidim domi, because it's not chav la'achrina, and therefore I don't need edi kedushin. This was the answer that Yosef said back to Yaakov. This is from a nine-year-old Klausenberger Rebbe. And obviously there's some kasha that you can ask in that, because what? Yosef in Mitzrayim had no siblings. Right, that's the kasha on this pshat, because chav la'achrina is not only, you know, right now. Chav la'achrina is be'etzim. But okay, that was the word from the Klausenberger Rebbe at 9 years old. He used to, Rabbi Moshe Weiss quotes that he used to appreciate what we call Girsa Diankisa, the Torah that he learned when he was young. The Klausenberger Rebbe liked this word. He said at 9 years old when he went to speak to Ashraf to Rebbe. Okay, it's a nice word. It's a halavai. Our 9 year olds can think like that they know Hadas Balin Kemedim Dami and they know Chav Lachrina. But in any case, that's the word that he says. The theme of Parshas Vayechi that everyone discusses, and I think it warrants discussion, is what was the significance of the switching of the hands of Ephraim and Menashe? What was the Torah teaching us? What's the lesson? What's the idea behind it? So my friend has a beautiful pshat. He suggests the following, that we know that Ephraim represents Torah, and Menashe represents Avodah. We know that the Kliyoker says that when they wanted to send someone, who did they send to relay the message about what's going on with Yaakov's health? They sent Ephraim, because he was sitting and learning with Yaakov, and he was the in-between guy. Yeah, Ephraim represented Torah, Menashe represented Avodah. So Rabbi Fran explains the following. He says that there's two things in life that we need to give over to our children. We need to give over to our children Torah, and Avodah, what he's learning over here, doesn't mean tefillah. Avodah here means working, going out to provide for yourself, be able to support your family, which is just as important. So he said, so what was the lesson of the switching of the hands of Ephraim before Menashe? He was saying that you have to give over to your children that although both these things are very important, hashkafas, you have to ask yourself, what's the more stronger hashkaf I'm pushing on my children? Is it more, what he says, is it first more doctor-rabbi, or is it rabbi-doctor? What is my emphasis to my children I'm giving over to them? What's important? What am I putting first? So he says, a chiddush and the Gemara Nedar. The Gemara says, why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Shloi baruchu b'toyra tchila. They didn't make berachas ha-toyra first. He says, no, you know what the Gemara means? They didn't bless their children b'toyra. Torah Retchila. They didn't first tell their children, I want you to be a big time chacham and a professional. That was the taina. Shloi Baruchu b'Torah Retchila means they didn't give their children the bracha of Torah before the bracha of success and parnasa. And that's how he learns that the chashivas of the Torah is telling us about the significance of the switching of Ephraim and Menashe. He also says in a different sefer that why do we give our children the bracha that Yosef gave, that Yaakov gave to Ephraim and Menashe? Because that's the one that's stuck in Klai Yisrael for so many years. He says because when Yaakov gave these brachas, one could have thought that there could have been a brawl between Ephraim and Menashe right then and there. Menashe was the older one. He deserved to have gotten the right hand. And he's sitting there getting the left hand. So easily what should have happened was there should have been a fight. Another Yosef and his brothers, the next generation. And what happened? There was none. So that was the highest level of potential sibling rivalry, and it wasn't. Therefore, explains every friend, that's why we give this to our children every Friday night, because we want to relive that bracha without the sibling rivalry. Although there might have been a lot of room for sibling rivalry, and the brothers could have fought. They didn't. And that's why specifically we give this bracha to our children on a Friday night, to hopefully enable the ahava of the two brothers of Ephraim and Menashe that should have also continued to our children where there shouldn't be any sibling rivalry. There's a Trumas Hadeshin that suggests an interesting pshat. The Trumas Hadeshin suggests that the reason why Yaakov didn't just switch the brothers, why did he have to switch his hands? So the Trumas Hadeshin says because he didn't want to insult Menashe, which means Menashe's, their heads were down, they didn't see which one came first. So if they didn't really see which one happened, so there's no raya that there wasn't sibling rivalry. They didn't know what was going on. So according to the Trumas Hadeshin, it doesn't work. But I like to suggest a different idea of what I think the Torah is telling us about Menashe and Ephraim. As we mentioned earlier, Ephraim represents Torah, but Menashe represents Avodah. Menashe was the Bechor, and the Bechor used to be the one to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So I believe what Yaakov is telling his children, and he's telling us also, he's giving us a tip for success in Galus. We're about to enter Galus. Sefer Shemais is called the Sefer of Galus. What is the mode of survival? So you would have said to yourself, well, there's two ways of serving Hashem. There's Torah and there's Tefillah. Which one is the more powerful one to succeed in the Galus? So that's why Yaakov showed him Torah first and Tefillah second. What does that mean? If you look in American history, at least, when the Jews started to come to America in the early 1500s, 1600s, they built beautiful shuls. Shuls and shuls of beautiful shuls, not a one yeshiva anywhere in sight. And you know what ultimately happening? The next generation did not stay from. With all the beautiful shuls, and everyone went to shul, and shul was a big experience. Because sometimes that's not enough to hold the next generation. You have to have Torah. You have to have an infrastructure of a limudat Torah, study of Torah. That's what's going to allow the next generation to succeed. That's what Yaakov was showing. He put Ephraim first. Ephraim represented Torah. Menashe represented Tefillah. He was showing them, you have to make sure you build yeshivas. If you're not going to have Torah infrastructure learning, you are not going to succeed. So today it's not the case in our shuls. Today our shuls are mini yeshivas. You look at the schedule here, there's more shurim here than some yeshivas. It's a Torah all over in the shuls. But back then, you don't even have to go so far back. Even 100 years ago, the shul wasn't a Torah experience. It was a davening experience. You came, you socialized, and you went home. It wasn't functioning, you know, for shurim all the time. It wasn't open all day long. It was a davening experience. And Yaakov is telling us that if you want to succeed in the Galus, it's not just enough to be kiveitim for tefillah. And of course, davening is important. We have to build beautiful shuls, and we have to run shuls. But if we're just going to have shuls and just daven, we're not going to have the infrastructure of habatzas Torah, spreading and learning of Torah, Klai Yisrael was not going to survive through the Galus. And that's why he switched it and put Ephraim first and then Menashe to show us that this is our game plan. If we want to survive in Galus, this is true for every Galus, we have to make sure we have Ephraim first and Menashe second. When we get to the end of the parasha, we've spoken many times, it's worth mentioning again, the Yisachar-Zevulun relationship, very, very important idea where the Torah is relating to us, that Zevulun basically made up with Yisachar, he was going to share half of what he earns, according to the Shach at least, not everyone agrees, but half of what he earns, 50-50 evenly, whatever he earns, he gives to him. And that was the makeup that they had, and that's the way it worked. And we know Zevulun worked in dangerous areas. He worked on the water. Water is always dangerous. So Rabbi Feinstein says, why is it that he had to work in the waters? Why couldn't Zevulun work in a nice office and sit on the computer and buy and sell stocks? He said, because the fact that Zevulun went into dangerous situation and came home every night and survived, Zevulun said to himself, you know why I survived? Because I have a partner named Yisachar who's taking care of me. If Zevulun would have an easy job and would just be sit back and relax, it would be much harder for him to share his money. And we all know it's hard to share our money with anyone. We worked hard, why should I give you the money? So explains to Rabbi Feinstein, that's why Badafka Zevulun went into difficult areas. He went into the water where it's dangerous. We know a person goes into the water, he has to bench Goymel. It's a sakana. So Badafka would put himself to some form of a sakana to make money. Then when he decided, now I have to share it, I got to cut the check every month to my Yisachar, to my brother, he was much more willing to depart with the money because he felt clearly that Yisachar was was guiding him and helping him, and because that, that's how he survived. But the relationship, we spoke about this many times, it's a fascinating idea, this idea of Yisachar Zvulun relationship, where one person sits and learns and one person is, works, and they both walk away with gaining a lot. We mentioned that Zvulun can spend his entire day working, and he'll get Schar Limud HaTorah as much as Yisachar did. It's an unbelievable idea. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says it goes so far that when Acha Me'ev Esrim, when the Zvulun goes up to Shemayim, they're going to put him in the section with all the great Rosh Hashivas. He's going to be in the section with all the great Rosh Hashivas. He's going to be sitting there with Reb Chaim Soloveitchik and Reb Shemin Shkup, and he's going to be there with Baruch Ber. So Reb Yaakov asked, he said, what's he going to do there? This guy's a wonderful guy. He supported Torah his whole life, but he never learned the word. He doesn't know the Gemara. He doesn't know the Chakir. So says Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, an unbelievable Chiddush. He says, not true. He says, we know that when a person is in utero, they learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and then they forget it. We forget it. Says Reb Yaakov, what's the pshat? Because the Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to toil and get our learning back. So he says, this fellow who toiled in working to enable to support someone else, he retains all the Torah that he learned b'mei imoy, and he knows all this Torah. So this fellow is going to go up Achamei Vesem, he's going to be sitting there with all the great Rosh Hashivas, because he supported Torah, and he was busy with toiling in work to support others, and that's why he's going to be able to be in the same section as the great Rosh Hashivas. An unbelievable lesson that the Parsha teaches us about the Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Okay. We left off last time. We just want to wrap up and really move on to a new sugya. We left off with a very interesting machlokes rishonim. What happens in a case where you have two witnesses? Two witnesses watch the kedushin, they watch the gerushin, but the group is having a dispute about what happened. One aid says it was closer to him, therefore it's not a get and it's not a kedushin, while the other aid says, no, it was closer to her, therefore it is a get and it is a kedushin. What do you do now? So this is chad v'chad. This is one group of edim, a dispute in the group. So we talked about two other scenarios. We talked about what's called trey v'trey. We have two different groups that are arguing. One group says it was closer to him. One group says closer to her. So that's trey v'trey. That's a machlokes in the Gemara. Then we spoke about another shaila. What happens when you have one group and the group is not sure? They couldn't get a good view on where it landed. Now we're talking about the third case. The third case is when you have one group. And in the group, there's a conflict of what happened. He says, I'm telling you, it ended close, it rolled close to her. The other eight says, no way, it was close to him. Now we have a conflict in the group, what do we do?
The group is only of two people.
Two people, just regular kat edim, one kat edim, and there's a conflict, a dispute between the two edim, what happened. So what do we do now? Do we say it's a suffix kedushin? Well, or do we say it's nothing, it's meaningless? So this is a machloikis b'shein. Rashi in Yevamis, we quote over here number two, we named the Ritva. The Ritva quotes this Rashi. It's Rashi on the page, but the Ritva quotes. Rashi says over there, he's going on the Gemara. The Gemara says a case of kat achas havelei safek derabbanan. The Gemara says in Yevamis, if you have a case of a kat achas, one group, that's a case of sveika derabbanan. So talk to Rashi, Pirish Rashi, kat achas de eid echad oy mekarv lo ve eid echad oy mekarv lo. Bein begeirush and bein begdush. So Rashi learns, probably the simple way we read the Gemara, that the case of one kat means we have one group, two edim, and each one of the edim are arguing what happened. He says closer to him, he says closer to her, and that, the Gemara says, that's a suffik kedushin. That's the way Rashi learned the Gemara. Suffik kedushin. So Frek the Ritva, the Rashba asks, many Rishonim ask, the Hikshu B'Toysvis, the Baha'i Afilu B'Sveik D'Rabbanon like a cloud. That's not a case of a suffik kedushin. Why? The eid Eichot B'Gerushin B'Kedushin ain't a klum. Without edim, you have nothing. So over here in this story, you only have one eid. Because the other eid saying, not, it wasn't a kedush. So Frek the Ritva on Rashi, how could Rashi call this suffix? It's not anything. If a lady would walk into Bezdin and tell Bezdin, I just got married. Suffix kedush? It's nothing. You're missing one of the basic requirements for any marriage is edim. You don't have two edim. You have one eid. One eid gets you nowhere. So Frek the Ritva, how could Rashi call that a case of suffix? That's not suffix. That's nothing. That's one aid is half a story. Half a story doesn't work for Kedushin. So why does Rashi call it Safik? That's the Ritva's Kasha, the Rashba's Kasha. All the Rishonim ask this on Rashi. And for this reason...
Two aidim that saw that there was a mice.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second. But the simple case of Rashi, the way it sounds like to us, is that we're talking about a case where you have two aidim, and they're arguing about what happened. According to one, there was a Gerush, according to the other, wasn't, so we have nothing. So the Ritva Taka argues on Rashi. The Ritva learns you right. That's not Pshat in the Gemara. But the Kasha is how we're going to be Miyasha for Rashi. How are we going to answer for Rashi? Rashi knew this.
Is it possible that Rashi's thing, there still is an Adis?
So that's what we're going to have to see.
So what's the nature of Adis over here? So
this is Adikim. This is
Tamil. No. According to Rashi.
Right.
Yashay Rashi. So it's like when you have a duet versus a solo. So what is a duet? Is it two solo singing together?
Right.
Or... Because no, it has to be two people together. It's not solo plus solo.
I'm saying, but over here, you don't have two people testifying that there was a
chalitza. I understand, but does one person, amount to anything.
So that's the question.
So in Rashi holds that one aid, even though it's not complete aidus, it does amount to something.
Okay, good. That's the way, almost the way Rabbi Soloveitchik learns this Rashi. Almost, come out the way he learns Rashi.
Minimum generator something.
It's not. Okay, good. Okay, so this is the way some people want to start to talk about, which we'll talk more in a second, is that maybe one A can't make you a full Kedushin, but it makes you a Suffolk. Okay, that's something we need to talk about.
When you came and told us you saw, you know, Reuven give Rivka something, is that at least...
So that's what we're going to see also. So that's what we're going to see right now. We're going to see in a second that might be one of the ways... That's what Rashi seems to be presenting, which everyone seems to find very hard to believe. So there's a Ranik Subis, a number two. We ran through it much quicker last week. I want to spend a little bit more time on it today. The Ranik Subis is learning like Rashi, and he has to answer the kasha that we shouldn't have on Rashi. He learned the Gemara in Bayos and Yevamis that it means you have two witnesses, and in the group they're arguing. So says the Ran like this, Lefichach nirli. Both these two witnesses, meaning the cat, they both agree that the physical part of the story started. He threw something. They're disputing and who was it closer to. So says the Ran, you have two witnesses in the starting point of this, we'll call it chalos. Two witnesses saw a throw from him to her direction. Now again, being a throw from him to her direction does not create chalos gerushin. That creates the starting point of us to think there'll be a gerushin. Says the Ran, va'avidi di inchi detoy bekarav lo yebekarav lo. It's very likely that one can make a mistake about saying it was closer to him or closer to her. Right? The two of them are standing right next to each other. So you thought it was closer to her. It could have been really close to him. It could be you're making a mistake. Says the Ran, amrina de midirabbanon. At least on a rabbinic level, lo itinase. We don't let you get married. Maybe what really happened was they really both agreed and both really saw it end up closer to her. So why is this guy screaming now? It wasn't. He's now making a mistake. So a very interesting pshat from the Ran, where the Ran is suggesting that because they started off as a functioning kat edim, they both saw the early stages of a chalos gerushin. And again, two edim who see a man throw a get or a kedushin to a lady is meaningless. That's not edis. You saw her throwing something, and therefore what? We have to make sure it landed by her, she got it, ended in her shos. That's just a half of a story. Yet the Ran says because they started off together seeing that part of the chalos, although that part is not at all going to create a chalos, and now when we're coming to the end of it, they're having a dispute about what happened, says the Ran, it's very possible that maybe they both really saw it, and now they're just, someone's making a mistake. So again, Midrash Rai said this would never fly. Midrash Rai said they're not married, or they're not divorced, isn't it?
Someone made a mistake. It was close to him.
Exactly. So the question is, one would have argued that, until we can prove it, each one is only half of an edus. The Ran is suggesting, that, no, maybe what really happened was that both of them saw what they needed to see, and this is an after-the-fact type of story. After the fact, he's claiming this because of his mistake. But really, at the time, if we would have, you know, stopped the camera at the time, he really, two edim really witnessed a get or a kedushin being closer to her.
Did they testify to that?
No. He's claiming now it wasn't.
No, but saying, did they originally say it was Karim?
No. No. They're arguing from the get-go. They're coming into bed and saying, yes, we both saw the throw, but when it landed, I'm telling you, it went close to them. So says Duran, yeah, you're only saying that now, because now you're making a mistake. You forgot what happened 5 seconds ago. But at the time, when you were watching, you really agreed. Okay, that's the way Duran wants to learn it.
Why does need to say that part? Why doesn't he just say, whatever they thought at the time, maybe in fact he saw it closer, but he thought, even at the time, he made a mistake, and he thought it was closer to him. But in reality, it was close to her. He saw what he saw.
That's, the problem is we can't say it. But if we're going to do that, then we're going to throw out the whole edus. If we're going to say, we have to be able to justify how his story fits with what we think is of the reality. So we have to say that really he saw what he was supposed to see. And the fact that he's telling...
He did see what he was supposed to see. But why posit that he made a mistake now and didn't make a mistake? But why don't you just question him? What did you think then? He saw the reality. Let's say, for argument's sake, the reality is it was closer to her. From the very beginning, made a mistake and thought it was closer to him. But he really saw it closer to her. So that's edus.
That's what the Ran is saying.
The Ran is saying he thought at the time, if you would have questioned him, B'shasim, I'd say he would have said, I saw it closer to her. Now he's coming into court a day later, and he changed, and he forgot what he saw.
Okay, I think you can say that. I think it's really the same idea. I think the Ram will tell you that the point is that we have to suspect that what ended up happening was really he saw
that was closer.
That was closer. What is he saying now? We have to come up with some. It's such a chiddush because if you start playing games like this, so then
it's not such a chiddush because the other guy did say he sees it closer.
Right, it sounds
like they both saw it closer.
It sounds like from the Ram that the starting point is that we both start off seeing something thrown. If you didn't have that, then it's not even all
the
same guy.
You can say it the other way.
100%. 100%.
You were wrong.
That's why at least it creates a suffix. A suffix to Rabban. Midrashes will never fly.
I was allowed to do that, Rabbi. What? I was allowed to say I was at the Kiddush and I was one of the 8 days. 2 days later, I said, you know what, I'm not actually sure I hear him say how Rabban Kiddushes.
Yeah, generally speaking, we would take that very seriously.
But why would you, again, what's this Kavich Nigit Shubayna Chosra Magin? Why doesn't
this testimony in business?
Yeah, this is a question of he's telling us what he saw. He's not changing.
That's only a base.
Right, here he's telling us I didn't see it.
According to that fact pattern, aren't you saying they're testifying based on that they saw it?
They are now start to.
And they're coming in now and they're saying it was closer to him. You know, we don't know. Rashi doesn't say too much. Rashi just says one line. They were talking about the Edom.
We do know that a get was thrown.
That's right. That's all that's given.
Intended to divorce her.
Right.
We're just not sure.
We're not sure where it ended. So it's very unclear.
That's enough to create.
Yeah. So that's what Rabbi Salvechik is going to learn. If you look over here in Mishima Shurim and Yevamis, so if Salvechik suggests like that, he quotes this Rashi, and he says, he makes another bigger kimp than Rashi, which is not found in our Rashi. Others do it as well. If you look in the Rabbi Yafin Ritvoz, the big fat Ritvoz in Yevamis. So he has four pshatim how to learn this Rashi. So one of these pshatim is similar to the way Rabbi Salvechik learns Rashi. Yeah. Rabbi Salvechik learns Rashi like this, Pirish, Shoha'ed Echot Sha'amakarav La'meid Sha'yushnei Edim Kiyam. Rashi means that one aid is not saying that it happened here, that just me saw it. He's saying that two other reliable witnesses as well saw the Kedushin. Elish and Nelmu, they're not around. Debeli Edekim, ain't can Kedushin Chal. Meaning, if Salvation was bothered with the Kasha, everyone has on Rashi. One aid can't walk in and say, I saw a marriage. To answer, it's not one aid. I'm saying that two other aidim saw a marriage. That's the way he learns Rashi. Which means you have to make a huge akimt in Rashi. Yeah. That's not the words of Rashi, right? Yeah, Rashi doesn't say those words. He's doing this to answer up the Ritva's Kasha. The Ritva's Kasha is one aid is meaningless. Says of Salvation, you're right. It's not one aid. I'm not coming into Bezdin saying, I saw a marriage, because that's meaningless, like the Rishayim asked. I'm coming in saying, two other guys saw a marriage, and they happen not to be here, and I'm speaking on their behalf. So says of Salvation, he takes over.
And who's on the other side of this? The other guy saying,
it never happened.
Then throw to get.
The whole story never happened.
But the case is a car without car.
How does this answer Pashim Shana Rashi? So this answers Rishayim's Kash. How do you learn Rashi? So it says with salvation, the Chiddush for Rashi. Rashi's telling us an unbelievable Chiddush. Normally you need to have two witnesses that actually saw it, and they're there, and they can tell us. That word beer needs a little bit. I don't think he means levarer in lomdus. He means levarer. We need to know. I think he means we need to know that it happened. He means to say we need to know that it happened. I can't tell you that there were edim. Hamechet says there were edim. We need to know that there were edim. Not that the edim need to prove it. Ah, honey, meaning levarer beer gomer. Afal pikin eid echer hamech in iskatsha moilit suffik. Afal pida vidavisha beerva sheid echer neman lohoilit suffik vidavisha beerva. Says of Salavajik, and this is really Mefarsh Rambam. And he writes that later on, it's really Mefarsh Rambam in the end of Hilchos Ishos, where the Rambam suggests such a pshat, that if one aid walks into Bezdin and says, you should know, I saw two aidim, and they were there when this lady was Mekudeshes, it creates at least a suffix. What happened?
Tosis Kasha, how could one aid then uproot the Chazaka?
Well, again, the one aid is able to create a... Well, we'll see in a second, the Tosis doesn't hold like this. Tosis doesn't agree to this. This is Rashi. This is all in Rashi. Rashi's Chiddush, that one aid can be Mo'ayra Suffolk, by telling us there's two other Edom who saw something. This is the way of Salvechik learned Rashi and Yevamis. Again, it answers to Rishayim's Kasha. I don't see how it fits beautifully into the words of Rashi or in the Cheshbon de Gemara, but in Lomdus it's very Geshmak. In Lomdus we're saying a Chiddush, which if Salvechik agreed is a Chiddush, is that we're seeing over that one Ed has a power to be Mo'ira enough Sveikis that we're going to at least give her a Dindarabon and Safik Nushin, Safik Gerushin on a rabbinic level. That's how the other way of learning Rashi. L'cha'ayu, we could be medayik, and I put over in number 4 from the Sefer Shmuel's Gittin, he wants to bring right that our Tosfos that we spoke about for so many days, our Tosfos does not agree to this Rashi. How do you know? So he says very simple. He says, Ukishita kemuchach me'at Tosfos, this really, the sugin koi kem adam esveke d'rabbanon. If you remember, our Tosfos was trying to come up with different scenarios of how to learn the Suffolk of the Gemara. Why is the suffix this? Let the suffix be this. So he says, very simple. Why didn't Tosfos walk in and say the suffix of our Gemara is we have one group of Edim and the two of them, each Ed is fighting? Simple. Why can't that be the case of suffix in the Gemara? Why can't it be the Mechtzal Mechtza? It's Mamash half and half. You have one guy saying one way, one guy saying the other way. Why didn't Tosfos suggest even such a possibility? The answer is because Tosfos held like the Ritzvah. That's not even a possibility. In the case, there's one to one and you have nothing. You don't have any, you don't have Kiddush. So therefore, he suggests the fact that Tosfos never suggested this possibility in the Cheshbon, and you can add the fact that the Gemara never suggested this possibility. Possibility in our Gemara when we're trying to figure out a case of Mechtza Mechtza leads us to believe that that case of Mechtza Mechtza is not correct, and one and one does not equal a half a Eidos, it equals zero, and therefore Rashi and Yevamis is not correct. Okay, that was what I wanted to finish up from last week. We're now ready to move on to a whole new sugya, but it's very much connected to the last sugya. We were discussing a Shver Mishnah. The Mishnah said if you throw the get closer to her, she's divorced, closer to him, she's not divorced. So the question was, what does that mean? So Rav learned closer to him meant, closer to her meant in her Dalaramis, closer to him meant outside her Dalaramis. So that was the sugya of Dalaramis. What was Mechtzal Mechtza? What does the Mishnah mean when it says half and half? So the Mishnah says two groups of Edim. Rabbi Yochanan walks in a whole new pshat in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Karav Lo Shaninu. It says in the Mishnah closer to her, Afilu Meyo Amo. Even within 100 Amos of the Isha. Not like Rav, who says only within her four, says, Rabbi Yochanan, you got even more than that. If you can throw the get within 100 Amos of the Isha, you don't have to have such a great aim for this, 100 Amos, that's pshat in the Mishnah that she'd be divorced. The Karav of Lo Shaninu wasn't even closer to him, Afilu Meyo Amo, even within his 100 Amos. Says the Gemara, okay, Hei Chidomi Mechtzal Mechtzal. So how do you have a situation of half and half? Omer Rav, Zimah Bar Abba, Zimah Farshim, I'm going to explain to you. Who Yochol L'Shomroi? If he's able to guard the get, V'hi Eina Yochol L'Shomroi, and she's not able to guard the get, Zehu Karav Loi. That means the get closer to him and they're not divorced. He Yochol L'Shomroi, if she can guard the get, V'hu Eina Yochol L'Shomroi, and he cannot guard the get, meaning she is the sole controller of the get, Zehu Karav Lo, that would constitute being closer to her, and therefore she is divorced. Again, we're talking about a scenario where it's not anywhere near her Dalaramis. It's way beyond Dalaramis, but she is the one who controls the whereabouts of the get.
What does that mean by control?
Okay, we're going to have to talk about that. We're going to talk about it. Okay, if it's in her property, then it's Chatzar. No Chiddush. The Chiddush we're talking about in Rishus Sarabim, but there's no one anywhere for miles. It's just her and the get for miles. Husband's not around. Her and the get for miles, no one else is around. Says the Gemara, that works. Okay, so that's what we're going to have to talk about. That's a big Machlokes B'Shoyim movie that we're going to get to in 1 second.
So didn't we say that in Rishus Rabim, certainly nobody has ownership? Right. So who cares if
so
it's
again,
100 Amos?
So the question is, how do you understand Rabbi Yochanan? How is this trick working? We're going to have to see how this all works. So let's just finish the Gemara, then we'll take it apart. Says the Gemara, what's Mechtzal Mechtza? How do you have a scenario of Mechtzal Mechtza according to this version of Rabbi Yochanan? Says the Gemara, Shnei Michoyim L'Shamroi. Or Shneim Ein Yechaylim, if either both of them together or neither of them are watching, it's Zehu Mechtzal Mechtzal. So there's obviously a lot of Chidushim that Rabbi Yochanan just gave us over here into understanding the Mishnah, which we need to take apart each Chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. So let's take Rabbi Yochanan on the first issue of Rabbi Yochanan. Before we get into the Lumbus of Rabbi Yochanan, which obviously needs a lot of explanation, is Rabbi Yochanan arguing on Rav? That's what I want to know. Does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with the premise of Dalai Lamas, which the way Rav learned the Mishnah? Or Rabbi Yochanan is just saying, no, I give you Dalit, but I'm taking more. I'm expanding Dalit Amos. Is that the way of saying it? So the truth is, Rishonim will deal with this Shaila. The Rosh, number 6 over here, is very important. The Rosh deals with this Shaila firstly, and he starts off like this. Dr. Rosh, number 6, Rabbi Yochanan loy osi lafugia de Rav. Says the Rosh, Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing on Rav. Although he's coming out with a different interpretation of the Mishnah, he's not arguing in premise that the idea of Dalai Lamas is correct. The Shaper Isl, of course he holds. Dim Zarkla get the Teich Dalai Lamas el, she migureshes. Of course he agrees to the idea of Dalai Lamas. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Gufi, come and parakam with the Bamatsiya. Rabbi Yochanan himself, the Bamatsiya, that Yoram Advei says, Ketana yesh la chatzur, yesh la abba amas. Ketana has the right to use chatzur, and she also has Dalai Lamas. How do you know, says the Gemara? The Yalef Metziya Meget. We learn that Metziya from Get. So if you're learning at Metziah from Get, so it means Rav holds that Metziah has Dalaramas because Get has Dalaramas. So clearly Rabbi Yochanan holds that Get has Dalaramas. So obviously Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing on Rav in that Nekuda. So what are they arguing about, says the Rosh? This is the important part. El Deloshin Karav Lo V'Karav Loi Mashma Deferushi Barba Amas. The Mashma Afi Lerochu Gemenu Harbe. First of all, the first Taina, says the Rosh, is Rabbi Yochanan was being very technical. He didn't like the way Rav learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says closer to her. So you thought that was only 4 Amas? Says Rabbi Yochanan, no. Close is even 100 Amas. Okay, one would have argued on that. I think that's called close within 100 amas. That's a large amount of space, but okay, fine.
Not obviously, Rav Yochanan could agree to Rav. Rav can't agree to Rav Yochanan.
Oh, clearly, right. Rav is going to be very hard to agree with Rav Yochanan.
Isn't close a relative term, closer to her, or closest to him? So it doesn't matter if it's 100 or...
No, but the first part of Kar of Law, well, yeah, but that's Rishayim's Kasha, which we still have to deal with. The Gemara talks about being closer to him. Why is it relevant to be closer to him? As long as it's not closer to her, that's all that counts.
Yeah. So Rav Yochanan really
his closer to him is really an irrelevant statement, which Rishayim asked over there. They ask it again over here, which
really
maybe we'll bring it up again. Yeah, it's going
to
be Lav Dafka, yeah. We're going to talk about that also. It might be Lav Dafka anyways. So that's the first time that the Rush brings down. And this is also very relevant. The Gamechza al Mechza Edom Isparish Yofa Liba Diraf. He didn't like the way Rav learned Mechza al Mechza. He thought Mechza al Mechza doesn't fit so nicely. Which is true, because when we learned Rav, we had this Kasha. The Masha asked this Kasha. How does Rav learn Mechza al Mechza? You tell me now it's two groups of Edom. Why is that called half and half? Half and half sounds like it's a question of distance. So why is half and half better? So according to, we'll have to talk more about it in Rav Yechanan, but the Rosh says that Rav Yechanan didn't like the Mechza al Mechza statement. That's why he learned his own Pshat. Okay. Therefore, says the Rosh, Lekach nir le farish. So now the question is good. So you're telling me that Rav Yechanan agrees to Rav and Lomdis. He agrees to Dal Rambis. So now the obvious kash is, which we'll see more in Tosfos. So if you hold, so then what's the chiddush of Rav Yechanan? If you have Dal Rambis, so what's Rav Yechanan adding? He's giving you beyond Dal Rambis. There's something called Dal Rambis, that's Kinyan Rav. Then you go further, then you get into Rav Yechanan's territory. Now here's the million-dollar question. How does this work in Lomdis? Good. I know Rav Yechanan doesn't argue on Rav. How do you justify a Kinyan of 100 Amas? There's no Kinyan anywhere in the world called Kinyan Kuf Amas. How does this work? Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Oh, I don't know about a second. Sometime we'll get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that at some point. Says the Rosh, the Kach Nir Lo Lefarish. Karuv Lo Afilu Me'a Amas Umishum Iguna. Says the Rosh, I'll play the Iguna card. Tiknu Chacham and Begitin. Chazal played the Iguna card. Basically, this makes no sense. This has no Kloli HaKinyan. This doesn't work for anything else. You can't use this for money. You can't use this for anything else. So why does it work here? Because Chazal were worried about what's going to be with this girl. We want to make divorce as easy as possible. Therefore, we pulled the Kedushin. Afkin Rabban the Kedushin. And we pulled the Kedushin. Says the Rosh, Tiktu Chacham Begitin to call him Mekadosh Adayt Rabban Mekadosh. We're going to see later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan happens to have an interesting shita. He holds that this whole Kuf Amma thing only works for getting enough and not for anything else. Why, says Rosh? According to me, it's beautiful. Because it's working with Kala Mekadosh. Since Kala Mekadosh Adayt Rabban Mekadosh only works by Gerushin. So it's only here and nowhere else.
Well, once you're willing to invoke Avkinu, why not apply it to Mechza Mechza also? Get rid of all the Sfeikas. Just say Avkinu. Don't.
Well, that's the question. Did they feel that that was enough of a case for them to be able to do that?
I mean,
it has to fit. They create. No, the problem is, we can't just
that's
say that. Right, but it can't just be that any single time Chazal felt that something is not being done properly, they're going to play the Aguna card. It has to work into some form of made up rules that they gave.
So it seemed like an ideal situation.
Okay, so we're going to have to see a little better.
It's better than 100 amas.
Right. So let's try to understand how this works. Okay, good. These are some of the questions we have to see. Then how does this, again, you know, we could say Afkinu, so if you suggest it's working out Afkinu, so the answer is it doesn't have to fit into any rules. Chazal decided that this is a situation, for whatever reason, we decided that we don't like what happened over here, we want her to be divorced, so we're not going to affect the get, because we can't affect the get. There's nothing in our power that we can do to make this get a halacha get. All we could do is take away the kedushin. So they didn't make the get a halacha get. What they did was they made the kedushin a non-kosher kedushin.
They decide that she's definitely still married. That also resolves the Iguna issue.
No. They want to get her divorced. Right? They want to get her out of this marriage for whatever reasons.
Why?
That's what every time we have a Tekanas Aguna, the point is not so she shouldn't be, not our Agunas that we talk about, she should be stuck. That she's nishtahi nishtahe. The Aguna over here means she wants to get divorced. We want to make divorce as easy as possible. The question you can ask me is why couldn't Chazal make up the same way they made up Dal Ramas? So make up Kuf Amas. What's the problem? They made up Dal Ramas, right?
No, there was a premise to make up Dal Ramas.
Okay. So that's what we're going to have to see. Yeah. Okay, so that's the cash on the Rush. You see from the Rush that the Rush was not willing to give you that this works like Dal Ramas. In Lomdis, the Rush is clear that this is not working the same way Dal Ramas works. It's working with a new Chab called Afkid. Okay.
Have we shown him able to make up Afkinu when it's not in the Gemara?
Well, they're telling you what Rabbi Yechon made up. That's not there.
Rabbi Yechon never said
that. Yeah, and Echonami. So the question is there another way to learn Rabbi Yechon? Is there another possible way of learning Rabbi Yechon? So the Rush is very clear that the way to learn Rabbi Yechon in our Sugi is not Afkinu. Now, just to Chazer, how did the Rush learn Dal Ramas? He didn't learn Afkinu. That's not the way Dal Ramas worked. Kinyan. It worked with Dal Ramas as a Kinyan the Rabbon. So there's a Tshuva in Reb Kiv Eger where his son, Reb Shloime Eger, sends his father a Tshuva. When he tied this to his father, he has a big chiddush from this Rush. Shlomo Eger said, you see from this Rush a very big chiddush. Says number seven, Chus Reb Kiregi, he writes, Su Kasev Bini. So Shlom Eger wrote a bunch of letters to his father, and his father responded to a bunch of things. So one of the things that Shlom Eger wrote to his father, he turned it like this to his father. He writes, Su Kasev Bini Harav. He says, my son, the great rabbi, Tainid, the Harash Gittin, that the Rosh that we just quoted, mid the Asber had the Kuf Amba, the Bidin Afkinu Rabban the Kedusha, and Achzin Olay, the Shlom Eger was Tainid. Why did the Rosh go down the Afkinu route? What pushed the Rosh to go down Afkinu? Mid the Loikas of the Rabban and Hiknu like Kuf Amba, why couldn't he just say Pashit? That Chazal were makna the Isha, the 100 Amas that's around her, and that gives her the right to be created to get with regular kinyonim. Why didn't the Rosh say that, says Shlom Eger? Umemela have a chatzeira deraisa. It would be considered deraisa als kinyin de rabbonin mahani le deraisa. That's what we spoke about, whether or not a kinyin de rabbonin works deraisa. Says Shlom Eger, al korchoch to lisri le bezek haran. So Shlom Eger had a hostical tear from this Rosh. From the fact that the Rosh didn't opt out for the Ran's Mahalach in Dalet Amos, instead he learned Afkinu, why didn't he go that route? Because he holds it's not true. What's not true, says Shlom Eger, what's not true is that a king of the Rabbanu will not give you ownership deraisa. We wanted this lady to be freed on a deraisa level. If you're going to play the card that the Chazal gave her the area, so that's only a king of the Rabbanu. And assuming a kinyan de rabbanon does not work on a deraisa level, which means she's only divorced mid rabbanon. So Zakhtib Shlom Eger, why didn't the Rosh go that way? Says Reb Shlom Eger, because the Rosh thought it's not true. We want her to be divorced on a deraisa level. The only way to get this girl to be divorced on a deraisa level is to play the Afkinu card. Therefore, she was never married, so now she's single on a deraisa level. So Reb Shlom Eger has a hostile to his father that this Rosh is a raya that kinyan de rabbanon loy mahani le deraisa. That's Reb Shlom Eger's hostile to.
Because Afkinu works because Kol Nekudah
Rabbanu. Correct.
So then you can say the same thing by Kinyan Dalet Amos.
So why didn't they?
It's not a riot. I mean, so clearly the Rosh holds Kol Mekudah Rabbanu. I mean, everybody holds that.
Correct.
So I don't think it's such a riot. He's willing to accept that, so...
So why wouldn't you learn like we said by Dalet Amos? Why change up the Lomdas? Because
you don't have to. All the tickets are Rabbanu Kane Daraisa tickets. So by Dalet Amos, we have a Daraisa precedent. The Balamar and Shabbos.
So that's really what Kiveger answers back to the son. He tells the son, nice to go Torah, but you're wrong. Why? Says him Kiveger, probably said it nicer than that. He said, Leniz Daidi, Haran, like Rakl Indian Dalet Amos. He says, I'll tell you even better, says him Kiveger. The Rat himself, who wrote that the way Dalet Amos works is through the lumness of I'm being machnu to Dalet Amos, would agree to the Rosh by Kuf Amma. Why? The Zchia Sham Chet Chatzer Aleha. Aval Hanach Kuf Amma de Lashamili Einan Shalah, Loy Shaykh Loyma de Chazal Hiknu Lashia Chatzera. The Lemotzinu Kinyan Lachatzoin, Vavirak, Takonet Chazal, Baalma de Tikna Haget. Aval Loyma de Chatzera. Says, Bibkivega, you missed the boat. It's not true. Bishlama by Dalet Amos, where we mentioned the Balamor, we mentioned other precedents to the idea of Dalet Amos, that Dalet Amos is an extension of Yerushas. So there the Ran wrote that so by Get, the same thing, the Get becomes the Dalet Amos extends into Yerushas, and therefore it's Vinasan Biyode Birushus. But over here, what's Kuf Amma? Loy Motzinu, a concept that your 100 Amas are Kaina. Therefore, the Rosh was stuck. When the Rosh came to our Gemara, he's thinking to himself, how am I going to explain this Gemara? I'm going to tell you that 100 Amas, Chazal gave a person 100 Amas in Rishas Rab. Where? It could be it was made up here. Possible. Could be Yerichel made it up right here in our circuit. But the Rosh thought there's no pre-existing concept for that. It's Mustama, not true. So the Rosh said, so how else am I supposed to be Mazber Rabbi Yerichel? The only other way to explain Rabbi Yerichel is to play the Akola Mekadosh card. But what you see from Rabbi Kivega is very important. You see from Rabbi Kivega that he understood, and his son didn't learn like that, but Rabbi Kivega understood that Rabbi Yerichel is not working like Chatzar. It's not a Chatzar. Kuf Amos is not Dalet Amos. They're different kinyonim. In Lomdus, they're different. It's not just it's Dalet Amos plus another 96. It's a whole different Lomdus. Dalet Amos is one Lomdus.
Not like the Rosh. So it's just an extension.
Oh, right. We're going to get to that in a second. Not like the Rosh. But again, the way Kivega learns the Rosh, it's taka not the same. That's what Kivega's whole point. So therefore, according to this, it's taka two different things going on over there. There's Dalet Amos, which Rabbi Yechon agrees to. Works with a Lomdus. And then there's another 96 that works with a completely different Lomdus. That's the chair comes out from Rabbi Kivega.
Rabbi Yechon himself says what the Lomdus is.
Correct. So that's what we're going to see in a second. We have to see in the Rishonim, does Dalet Amos also require a Shmira? We'll get to that in one second.
And what would be if
it should?
We'll get to that in one second.
And what happens if somebody can't even be Shmira in Dalet
Amos? So we'll see. It's Machlokes Rishonim. We'll get to that in one second. Now, what would happen, according to this, if Kivega has another tshuva, a third tshuva, which we need to talk about. What happens if the guy throws a get within a Kuf Amma, and there also happens to be a Metziah that finds its way into the Kuf Amma? Same time. Her lucky day, right? What happens now? But she also get both.
No.
So l'chayr, according to the way of Kivega setting up, she would not. This is not her chatzar. Bishlam, if the pshat would be that this is her chatz, and we spoke about this a couple times already. What would happen if there'd be Dalet Amos and Rishus Rabim, which she gets to get, and same chance there was a Metzia. So Rabbi Kiveger and Shlomo Eger also argued about this. Do you say in Kinyan Lachatzayin? If it's my chatzar, it's got to be my chatzar for everything.
No, not, you can say it's your chatzar
that got to be get. Oh, so that's what, that was Rabbi Kiveger's time to back. No, it's not true.
Even if you're working through
the what?
Right, there.
Right. That was the other argument.
It's 50 yards away from me.
Right, right.
So even if you want to work with the lungs of chatzar, you could say the chacham only gave you the chatzar the ability to...
That's what Kiveger himself thought. That's what Kiveger argued.
He says not only through chatzar at
all. No, that's over here. I'm thinking in that case, that's what he held. But in our case, it's much easier to understand. Because in our case, Kiveger would tell you, it's not your chatzar. You have nothing here. This is completely not your rishus. So how am I divorced? You're not divorced because you were mekabel aget. You were divorced because Chazal pulled your kedushin. That's why you're divorced. Let's understand it. Therefore, according to Reb Kiveger, according to Reb Shlomo Eger, you can clear the Shaila. According to Reb Shlomo Eger, maybe she would be kind of the Mitzvah, because Reb Shlomo Eger's understanding that this is somehow working the same way as like a Chatzah. So that would be enough Kamina. Okay, keeping this rush in mind, let's see Tosfos and our Sugya a little bit.
Does she have to know that this get is being thrown with her?
We'll see. It might be a Machloikis. We're going to have to see. It might be dependent upon how this is all working. So let's see Tosfos by us. So Tosfos by us starts off with a Kasha. The kosh, first day is the kosh. The per kamo, the bab mitzia, kamo Rabbi Yochanan the ketana yesh lechatz v'yesh ladal ramos. Gemara that the same gemara that the Rush quoted. Gemara bab mitzia says Rabbi Yochanan says that a ketana has a chatzur and she also has kinyan dal ramos. This is all referring to a mitzia. If a ketana is walking down the street and the mitzia falls into her dal ramos, she's kinyan. The gemara has the gemara says over there the yalef mitzia miget. The gemara says how do you know? So the gemara says Rabbi Yochanan learned mitzia from get. So says Taisus 1 second. Mashma, the beget leb yechidon ain't megureshes el teich dal rambus. V'hacha kamer afilu me'amu. Frak Taisus, what are you talking about? You're telling me now that Rav holds that dal rambus works by get. So the implication is that dal rambus works by get and nothing else. And here you're telling me that 100 amos works for get. Which one is it? Is it dalet or is it kuf? This is really the same question of the Rush. Does Rav argue in a beichin or does Rav work with a beichin? So Taisus answers similar to the Rush, but he explains a little bit more. V'yishlemer says Taisus no. Of course, Rav holds like Rabbi Yochanan that there's something called Dalet Amos and there's something called Kuf Amos. So now the question is, if you have Dalet, if you have Kuf, who needs Dalet? And if you tell me now that I agree there's a 100 Amos, so included in 100 is Dalet. So what's the Chiddush of Kuf Amos? So says Taisus, no. The Yishloimar, Yeshlo Dalet Amos, the Kamar, the Taisus via Yishloimar, the Dalet Amos Shalah, it sort of depends. If you're using Dalet Amos, then Afidu Yochol Lishmar Kamayu, even if the husband has as much power of control of the get as she does, Megureshes. The Chotz La'arba Amos, but when you get out of the Dalet Amos, then Sarach Shetehi Yochol Lishmar V'Lehu. So how does Taisus Magdar it to us? Taisus says it all depends. If it's within Dalet Amos, so then there's, even if they're equal power, it's okay. But outside Dalet Amos, she's got to be the dominating power of the two. So according to Taisus, the way this is all working is fundamentally different. Shmira plays a role outside the Dalet Amos, while Shmira doesn't play a role toich Dalet Amos. Now it's interesting, the words of Taisus are not so mashma. What are the words of Taisus? That within the Dalet Amos, she needs to watch it as much as him. Well, Dalet Amos needs Shmir. What are you talking about? Dalet Amos is Dalet Amos. It sounds like from Taisus that even Toich Dalet Amos, there still needs to be a Shmira.
Say that she needs a Shmira.
He says. What he says, Afilu Yochol Ishmar Kemayu, even though they're able to watch
it
as much.
That was the case of a Ketana.
But that was the case of the Gemara
Bamatzi. I said, but to be another chilek, that within Dalet Amos you don't need Das, and Kuvama you would need Das. Tosfos doesn't say that.
Right. Taisus is using the words of our Gemara.
There must be some
reason. But the question is, the way Taisus learns the Gemara, it comes out of Big Chiddush, that even in Dalet Amos, what would happen if she's not in control and he is in control? I would be medayik from Taisus that would not be a good get. Because Taisus says, like, as long as she's equal to him. So the Mashmoy says, let's say she's not equal to him. So if she's more powerful than him, then it for sure works. If he's more powerful than her, it would sound like from Taisus, it doesn't work.
By definition, if you're in Dalet Amos, would be controlled.
Why is that true?
That's considered you.
So we haven't yet explained what does it mean Yochol Lishomer. What do those words mean? It means I can grab it and you can't grab it, or I can control it. We'll have to talk more about it.
And if that's the case, like you said before, then what measurements don't make a difference? If we're talking about Shmira, whether it's 2 inches or...
So that's the Chiddush of Taisus. The way Taisus is teaching us, the difference between Dalet and Kuf is that in the Dalet, you don't need as much Shmira as you need in the Kuf. In the Kuf, you need her to be completely in control. In the Dalet, she needs to be somewhat, but not total. They could be equal in the Dalet. Maybe we won't stop a kuf. It might be at some point. It's going to be pretty hard. It's going to be. We'll have to talk more about it. So comes along Reb Kivega, and this is important. Keep in mind the last Reb Kivega, and then we have to see another Reb Kivega. Comes along Reb Kivega over here, number 9. He asks a very shtak akash on Taisus. He asks it in two places. He asks it here in Gittin. He asks it in Meseris Hashas in Bab Metzia. Frank Reb Kivega, he doesn't understand what was bothering Taisus. What was Taisus's grace akasha? Taisus was convinced that Rav and Reb Yechinon have to agree to each other and argue much more than they're arguing. Why? Because the Gemara Bava Metzia says that Rav learned Metzia from Get. In fact, Kivega, big deal. Maybe all you learn Metzia from Get is this dark concept called Kinyan Chatzar that goes beyond your actual backyard. How far does it go? It depends. For Gerushin, it's 4. For Metzia, it's more. Or vice versa. Frank Kivega, I don't get what Taisus was so troubled with. All you saw from that Gemara was that Rav held, that Reb Yechonon held, we learn out the idea of Chatzar from Get. What do I learn out? I learned there's an idea that my backyard extends, not just in my backyard, it extends into Dalet and extends even into Kuf. That's all I'm learning. How far does it extend? Then it will be the issue by issue. By Mominus, it'll be one set of rules, and by Gerush, it'll be a different set of rules. What's the...
But that's against the other
Reb Kivega. Ah, exactly. Hey, very good. Okay, good, good, good. That's what I want to get to in a second. But let's just make believe we don't know that other Reb Kivega for a second. That's Reb Kivega's kash. Says Reb Kivega, "V'lo zechisi lahavi kushasim." I don't understand what was bothering Taisvis. Da'anan yafina mitzi miget. Let us learn out mitzia from get. Al hayisoid on the premise the chatz mishum yadu. That the way a chatzah works is an extension of your hand. Umemela, the achad the tiknu begodl b'metzia da'avi chatzeri kaino. Once they were masakin that by an adult their hand extends past their area. So kamay kein gabiktana. The chomashi chatzera have a kiyod. Whatever in your chatzah is like in your yad. Avlo inizay yesh chiluk. But when it comes to how far, then there's a difference. The beged hiknu la'afilu kofama. When it came to get, Chazal said, you know, we're going to extend your rishos for 100 am. And by a mitzia, it's only 4 amos. You can't tell me that I learn one from the other how far to extend it. All I learn from is the idea to extend it. So, maybe Rabbi Yechon will tell you, I have no problem learning that an isha has dalar amos for a mitzia. What did I learn that from? From the fact that she has kuf amma by a get. Now, that sounds so strange. The answer is no, says Rabbi Kivega. What I learn is that you have the right to extend someone's rishos past their actual rishos. How far? That's not part of the limit. The limit is not how far it goes. The limit is the idea that your rishos can expand. So by get, it will expand for kuf amo, and by mitzvah, it will be 4 amo. So Freti B'Kivega, who told Toisvis that Rav has to agree to Rabbi Yechonon by get? That's Rabbi Kivega's kash. Achayra, what do you see from Rabbi Kivega? Kivega was learning that the lomdus of kuf amo is basically the same idea as Dalai Lama's, at least in his kasha. He's saying that one goes 4 and one goes another 96. He's assuming that it's basically an extension of a Dalai Lama's just even further. That's what Reb Kivega is assuming. L'chaira, it's a steer in Reb Kivega. Mamash is a steer in Reb Kivega. This shtickle of Reb Kivega is exactly against what Reb Kivega himself wrote in the Chuvas. Kivega wrote in the Chuvas, that's not the lomdus of Kuf Amma. Kuf Amma is working with Afkinu, it's not working with an extension. And here, Reb Kivega is assuming that's working the same way. So it's a shtark kasha how these two Reb Kivegas work. Now the different Yecheskel. The Divrei Yecheskel basically answers up Taisvis, assuming that Kivega's assumption is wrong. He writes, in number 10, he said, L'fi ma'ashe kasavnu osi shaper. The ma'achi de kufama eina mitoyras chotzer klal. No. That the way kufama is not working an extension of chotzer. It's not chotzer. Imkein shaper hukshua tais. So now tais tak has a very good kasha. If you're telling me now that kufama is not chotzer, and dalar amas is chotzer, so you can't learn one from the other. The only way to learn from the other is if you're agreeing in the lomnus of how it works. Therefore, says the Divrei Yecheskel, that's Pshat and Taisvis. Taisvis makes a lot of sense. Reb Kivega was coming with an assumption. Kivega's assumption was that Kuf Amma is the same thing as Dalar Amma and Lomdus. That's not true. Says the Divrei Yecheskel, Taisvis will tell you, I don't think that's the way it's working. I think Kuf Amma is Afkinu, and Dalar Amma is Taka Chatzar. Therefore, Taisvis had a great kasha. So what's the answer to Taisvis' kasha? Says the Divrei Yecheskel, V'nimtza, the beget like a klal teres Dalar Amma and Chatzar, el v'nechol and Dalar Amma, v'nechol l'shamrei, the Kuf Amma. So he says, umushum hachi tirtzu. What was Taisus' answer? That there's taka two dinim over here. It's not one or the other. The mulvad din the kufa'ama began ikka gam teres dalar amas bin chatzar. That was good for Taisus' answer. Taisus' answer, there's two things going on over here. There's dark kinyan called kufa'ama, which is not b'teres chatzar, and there's dark ander kinyan called dalar amas that works b'teres chatzar. Two separate independent things taking place, and they have different rules. Kufa'ama is tali in shmira, while dalar amas is not tali in shmira. So the shakla v'tayya of Taisus is mamish what we went through in Kivega and Reb Shlomo Yeager. It's a shtaka tzarechin, how exactly to make these two Kvegas work. I'm not sure, but clearly, Kvegar and the Chedushim was not assuming the way he assumed in the Tshuva. He was assuming the way Shlomo Eger assumed in the Tshuva, and that's why he had a kasha on Taisim.
Excuse me, Dalai Lama isn't telling Shmira. Is it? It is Shomer because it's within a Dalai Lama.
Could be.
You don't have that issue.
So let's see. So if you look over here, number 11, I wrote from the Sefer Piskei Taisvis. In the back of the Gemara, they have a Pesachim from Taisvis. And there it writes something very interesting. It writes, Toich Dal Ramas. If it's within her Dal Ramas, Afilu Yochol L'Shoimer Kemo. Even if she's able to watch it like him, have a get. Afilu Eini Yochol L'Shoimer. Even if she can't watch it. Loi Boi Toich Dal Ramas Mishameres L'Daitei. When it's in the Dal Ramas, she does not need to know anything. She doesn't need to watch it. Send the Dalai Lama's magic, everything works. The Chutz of Dalai Lama's, then when it comes to outside the Dalai Lama's, Tzorech Shetei Yechoy L'Shomri V'Loihu. B'Toysev Shalainu Einei Kol Kach Barichos. I wouldn't say Einei Kol Kach Barichos, I think Toysev Shalainu Chaylo Kal Zeh. Our Toysev does not seem to agree with this Piskei Toysev. Our Toysev sounds like that in Toych Dalai, they could be equal. In outside Dalai, if they're equal, it's a Suffolk. Says Toysev, Toych Dalai, it works. But the mashmois of Taisvis would be, the dik that I would have made from Taisvis is, that you have to have at least equal. If it would be, she's not involved at all, she's not watching it at all, it wouldn't work Dalai Lama's. So the Piskei Taisvis says that's not true. If you look over here, in number 12, Reb Shteinman makes the similar dik. He says, mashma, dim eini yechoylo l'shomer klal, if let's say Toich Dalai, she can't watch it at all, af b'Dalai Lama's eini miskereshes. That's the simple reading of our Taisvis. Taisvis keeps on saying that Toich Dalai, she can watch as much as him. Then they're divorced. I mean, watch it. Let's say she can't do anything. He's completely in control. Or no one's in control. So the mashmois of Taisus would be, it's not good. This is a chayra machloikis between what we call Taisus and the Piskei HaTaisus. What's the shayla toli in the lumdus? It's toli in how does Dalai Lama's work. If Dalai Lama's is working like a chotzer, so there's rules. Chotzer is mishtameres l'daiti. You need to be able to be controlled. If chotzer is tamad in, you know, some other magical trick of Dalai Lama's, so then attacker doesn't need mishtameres l'daiti. So I would have assumed that this shayla of whether or not in the Dalai Lama's, these mishtameres, which we're calling now as machloikis between Taisus and the Piskei HaTaisus, the chayra should be toli in how you bechlal understood Dalai Lama's. Is it working with the rules of chotzer? Or is it working with a different king?
Would there be no shayla if he gave her a get and he's an overpowering guy and she's in physical possession that if he's able to take it out of her, nobody's going to say that it's not considered
Pashta's not
shayla daito. It's mine.
Right.
So if you hold taka that's four amas, in other words, makes it like more.
But if it's a chatzah, there's rules for chatzah.
That's what I'm saying. If you go at least score the other sheik of chatzah,
that's right.
There's an extension. The fact that he can grab it back, he can always grab it back.
So that's going to be.
Generally, a man is stronger than a woman.
That's going to be part of the shayla. How you understood Dalai Lama's? If you understood Dalai Lama's, the same thing as if you put it in her backyard. So then it has to follow the same rules. If it's a different lamas, then maybe it has different rules. Just to finish off with this Rush and Taisvis. So we basically said that the Rush holds the way Kivayga learned the Rush. That the Rush holds that the Kuf Amma is not Chotzer. I think it's another stira between the Rush and the Taisvis Rush. If you look in 6b, the Taisvis Rush writes like this: Karev Losh Anina Afilu Mei Amma. Even though a chatzer, the only thing that we include is a chatzer, so where does Kuf Amos come in? Says the Rosh, Taisi Rosh, Hacha betakonet de Rabbonon ki chatzera domi. Chazal were misakin that Kuf Amos like a chatzer, domi, aminon de tikkun de Rabbonon. Kemoi de Dalai Lama's de tikkun Rabbonon. So it sounds like from the Taisi Rosh that he's associating Kuf Amos with Dalai Lama's. Which is exactly the opposite of the way we learned the Piskei Rush. So I think we have a stira in Rush also to how exactly the Rush understood Rabbi Yochanan. Was Rabbi Yochanan on a new kinyan called Afkinu, or Rabbi Yochanan was an extension of Dalit, just he took it further, and the same Takana Chazal is going to apply for Kafam. So not clear to me how to learn the Shita of the Rush. Rabbi Kiva Eger has a different kash over here. I feel like today's Rabbi Kiva Eger day. Maybe it's his yard side, I don't know. Rabbi Kiva Eger has another kash on the Sugya. That would work out really nicely. Rabbi Kiva Eger has the following kash. Rabbi Kiva Eger, let's go back to the Gemara for a second. The Gemara is learning Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan's karav law means she's in control. Karav law, he's in control. What's mechza al mechza? They both are neither in control. I got a simple pshat. Why can't karav law be the same thing of two kitei edim? Same thing. The name of gam le Rabbi Yochanan mefarshinu bemechza amena bemechza amechza bebeis kiti edim gaskinan. The achaz ameres karvla, achaz ameres karvla. Why couldn't Rabbi Yochanan borrow part of a Rav statement? Why couldn't he borrow the part that the mechza amechza? You have two groups of edim arguing. Why couldn't he learn that? L'chayra, based on that rush that we said, according to the rush, it's gevaldik. The rush is that part of what Rabbi Yochanan didn't like about Rav was this part of the Gemara. So what type of kash is that? The reason why Rabbi Yochanan veered off from the Rav's pshat, according to the Rosh, was because he didn't like how you learn mechza mechza. So he can't ask me a kasha, why didn't we learn mechza mechza like that? Rabbi Kvega does not answer this. He gives a whole shtickle Torah, which we'll have to hold off until we see the next shtickle Gemara. But l'chari, the pasha, the answer to Rabbi Kvega's kasha is what we read in the Rosh. If Salveitchik over here on the second page comes to be Masber, the lumness of Rabbi Yochanan. We kind of dabbled a little bit in the lumness, but now we have to really attack directly. What's the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan? So Salveitchik suggests like this: V'nira levar sheb yechanan tzava she'av shebchol atarik kula tiknu kinyan rak b'dal ramis v'yochol shemra ene kinyan. Points out of Salveitchik: there's no kinyan called I'm able to watch it. It doesn't exist. Yet Rabbi Yechanan holds that works for get. Where did he get this from? So according to the Rosh, it's afkinu. According to other Rishonim, it's an extension of dal ramis. Says of Salveitchik: haynu mishum de be'inan kinyan zchiyah. The reason why ene yechol shemra doesn't work is because by everything else you actually have to make a kinyan. Mashenkin beget the sagi betfisa. You don't have to actually own it; you have to hold it. You have to have control of it. Then loy be'in on dal ramis. Then you don't need dal ramis. V'yochel shomer mahani af b'mei ama. Meaning, says the Salveitchik, the difference between get and everything else is because get you don't really need a kinyan. If I need to own something, then it's got to be either in my possession or in my hand. I don't need to own a get. I need to be in control of the get. I have to have rights over the get. So if I'm able to guard it, what he calls it tfisa versus zchiyah. Zchiyah means real ownership, and tfisa just means control, power. So he's saying that if by get, all you need is power, control, you don't need rights. Therefore, v'imkei le'b yoichan yeshnam beis halachas beget. So it comes out, according to Yoichan, there's talking two dinim in get. Echot kinyan zchiyah de dal ramis. The first thing is dal ramis. When you throw the get into the dal ramis, the pshat is she now owns the get, like she owns anything else thrown into her dal ramis. Even if the husband can watch, who cares about watching? It's about ownership. But tfisa, then there's another din. When you don't actually own the get, but you're in control of the get, that only works when you can watch it without him.
What happens if you only have control? Is it good?
Outside the dal ramis, it works. Inside the dal ramis, you don't need that. So basically what Salveitchik is explaining to us, Rabbi Yochanan understood Geirushin is not about kinyonim. It's not about owning the get. It's about in control of the get. And he said, and l'chayr, it's meduik like that.
He's saying it's either one.
It can work both ways, but
one. Right. If it's a dollar,
because he's coming off.
You don't control.
That's because we're coming off of Tosfos in the Rosh that think Rabbi Yochanan is not arguing on Rav. He agrees to dollar amas. He's just saying that the lumness of dollar amas is extremely different than the lumness over here. Now the truth is, Rav Salveitchik himself proves it, but it's a mefurish Rashi and by us. What does Rashi say? We'll have to get into this much more next time. But the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan said that legitin v'loy l'davar echad. Rabbi Yochanan never says kuf ama works by mamonis, only by get. Why is that Rashi? It doesn't work by mamonis. To get who the bal korchoi kenuyu la, because get works bal korcha. Hilkach la alter havigita. Therefore, the get is right away. Ava ba almoloi. What does Rashi mean with that? So the answer is Rashi showing you that if in fact it works bal korchoi, it can't be about owning. You can't own things bal korcha, like the Tzais always tells us. Therefore, from the fact that Rashi is telling us that the difference between get and everything else, because get is bal korcha, it's a fancy way of saying get never needs a kinyan. I'm never kind of the get. I'm in control of the get. It's under my control. So as long as I can control the get, that's enough for Gerushin. Therefore, says of Salveitchik, that's Pshat and Rabbi Yechon. Pshat and Rabbi Yechon is not about that Kuf Amma now becomes a Mokam HaKinyan. It's not a Kinyan. Dal Ramis is a Mokam HaKinyan. Kuf Amma is about control. And it only works by get, because only by get is such a lum that's true.
Could you control without having a Sina? Where is the Sina necessarily?
You'd have to presumably you'd have to make Vinasina. Yeah, it's a good point. I would assume you'd have to have, meaning this is all on the biyada part of the equation. You still have to have a vinasan part of the equation.
So it's not
a lav dafka kufamas.
It's not even.
It's tali and now, we'll have to see Blineda next week that this yisoid is really a mefurshat taisirid. And then what gets more complicated is how does this work by kedushin?
What happens if somebody else takes control?
So then at that point, as long as she had it in control at the time of. Then it's good. What happens afterwards is afterwards.
She doesn't get ownership, but because she had it in
she'll be kind according to Bi'ech. Then we'll have to see how this all plays out. Lagabi Kiddush. That's a little bit more complicated with the Shaila of Machlok Shmishonim, how to learn Rambam and others. And then we'll see, we'll come back to Mominus. We haven't yet talked about how this works by Mominus. The Gemara says Mechza Mechza is true by Mominus also. So then we have Cheskas Marikama, all those good things. We'll have to get to a little blah 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 also when we talk about how the Mominus part of the Sugya works.